Coming up on this season-opening edition of Patriots This Week, Gronk's back.
I'm good to go. I'll be playing.
And so are the Patriots, despite some surprise goodbyes. New England said hello to one of the game's most accomplished playmakers.
Well, I think you got to make that statement the first week.
However, no man is an island. 15 years into his career, the quarterback can't wait for the games to count.
I'm really excited for our team. Made a lot of improvements.
So, gentlemen, start your engines and get ready for some football.
I'm excited to be back. It's been a long time.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos busted their Super Bowl hopes out in Denver last year. So what did the Patriots do? Well, they kind of tweaked the defense and they kind of twerked the offense. We could use those words, but it's game on now. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the premiere of Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and what we're going to do on this program is take a critical look at the New England Patriots from a former player's perspective. Of course, we have Jermaine Wiggins, former tight end, won his first Super Bowl ring. You got that thing on?
Yeah, I'm wearing
it. He's formerly known as Jermaine Wiggins. He's Baby Beatnuts on the new morning show over at 96.9. Of course, we got his counterpart, Q-Tip. Of course, it's Matt Chatham. Three rings, and both these guys were in the Patriots locker room with Bill Belichick, guys. And Bill has always said, I will always do what's in the best interest of his football team. They trade Logan Mankins right here prior to the start of week one. Was this a good move or bad move for this football team, considering who's the tough guy up front, Matt?
Yeah, we don't know today. I think if it was the right move or not, we'll know down the line. But the thing I found sort of interesting in it, and I was in that locker room, obviously, when Lawyer was let go at such a late hour, and my recollection was much more emotional. Like I think a lot of the guys in the locker room, but that was because I was one of the young dudes. And I think you feel that same split.
It's anger.
But I think you feel that same thing now in the locker room as well. When I go around the room and talk to some of the older dudes, it's like, this is the NFL. We expect it. So my perspective then as a young guy, I think, is what hit in this locker room a little bit, but with the young people, when you talk to the Tom Brady's, when you talk to even like Julian Edelman, who's more like a middle-aged guy, they say, we've become acclimated to this in the league. Just don't allow yourself to be surprised.
You know, and it's interesting. It happens to a guy in Logan. And, of course, you know, I had Dante Scarnecchia as our special teams coach when I first got into the league. Then he became the interim head coach, and seems like he's kind of floated around. Dave DeGuglielmo is the new offensive line coach, Wiggy. That transition, how much does that help or hurt the new guy? And we'll get into who that new guy may be replacing Logan Mankins.
Well, I think when you look at Scott, obviously, people knew who he was, especially on that offensive line. I think that's the one thing he demanded respect, and he got respect from that offensive line. You got a new guy in there. Now, I think they're going to start to look at him and say, okay, here's a new guy. Now we got to kind of take what he gives us and go from there. To me, when you lose a guy like Logan Mankins, you lose a leader in that locker room. But the good thing the Patriots have, they still have a guy like Sebastian Vollmer. They still have Conley. They still have some guys on that line that can be leaders in that locker room, can be leaders in that old offensive line room.
And it seems like it's a position, talking about that left guard position, it can be fluid. And not to say that it's got to be the same guy every week, but Matt, you know that from playing defense. And, you know, you covered this team in a preseason, you did the TV games. Taking a guy like Vollmer, yeah, who's played right tackle, and when you look at these bookends, Solder and Vollmer, I don't think it gets any better in the league to have two big guys kind of pillar-like on the outside. Can you take that guy and put him at guard, and can that work?
I don't know if that particular guy would be the one that moves. I think the guy that's a candidate that Bill has alluded to a little bit, at least shown some of that versatility, is Marcus Cannon. And he's the guy that now is in his fourth year, which I think
Makes sense. Yeah, he's got that guard body.
Which we all kind of forget because, remember, he sort of had the redshirt year when he was dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So Marcus is in that situation where I think he was a left tackle at Baylor. So I think he's a guy that has played with his feet both ways, has played inside, has played outside. I think they felt comfortable that he might be the backup right guard or be pushing for right guard minutes, then maybe right tackle, then maybe left. He's that one guy. When we go in next week with Miami, we're not going to know if it's Marcus. We're not going to know if it's Jordan Devey. You're not going to know if it might be Josh Klein. And I think that versatility helps you in preparation.
All right, let's go to the former tight end, and let's talk about the current tight end who earlier in the week declared himself up and ready to go and ready to play. What's going on here, Wiggy? Whether there's a game being played, whether it was misinformation, is he going to play and should he play?
Oh, I think he's going to play. And should he play?
Yes.
I think he's going to be on a limited role. You got to look at Gronkowski and say if there's 30 plays in a game, I could see him maybe playing 20, 25 plays. Limited action. Find a personnel package for him. I would limit his role and I would utilize him to maybe be a decoy. At times, use him in the red zone. Maybe third down, I would use him. I would have a specific package coverage for him. So I know that, hey, I'm going to ease you back into this because it's a knee injury. It's a little bit different, but I'm not going to just rush you back in and playing you every snap.
I think it's important that I agree with you, easing, but there's two kinds of easing in my view. There's the easing where you're just talking play count number, and there's also the kinds of plays. I think that matters as well. He obviously got injured on a deep seam route, you know, throwing the 30-yard ball right down the middle of the seam, and the free safety comes up and makes the hit that hurt him. I'd be curious.
None of us three would have walked up from that hit.
No, of course not.
There are people that say, well, he plays out of control. You know, he can protect himself.
That's a fluke. That
we would have never walked off
that fluke
thing.
So, but that being said, if you're going to go with this control notion, this idea that we're going to manage what we give him, and say it was only a 20 rep count, is it going to be 20 seam routes?
No.
I doubt it. And that's my point. Maybe there'll be some screen passes. Maybe you're working more on out routes with the linebackers.
Quick hitters, bang it on him. Let him run with it.
You know, or maybe you do line him outside and let him work the outside of the field. Maybe you stay away from the hit that he hasn't yet gotten because you know you can't simulate in that practice and he didn't get a preseason game.
Revis, how excited are you guys to see Revis in actual game action?
Well, let's just keep it with week one. I'm excited to see him go out there and match up against really anyone they put across from him. It could be Mike Wallace. It could be Brian Hartline. It doesn't really matter. Against a team like that, you have a guy who's better than anyone who could possibly stand across from him, and that's not always the case and hasn't always been the case here since maybe Ty Law.
And I'm excited to see what they do with their defense because of Revis. You know, how exotic they get, knowing that, okay, we can lock him down on the other team's best player, best wide receiver, and now be able to be more exotic, bring some safety down, move some guys around. The one guy I'm going to be looking for, and I think is going to have a big year because of Revis, Chandler Jones. I think he's 14-plus sacks.
I'm with you on that.
Well, here's the thing. Real quickly, I love the point that you could put him on your best, but consider this for a second. How about you put him on a second best for this reason? Because then you can double the best.
Roll it.
They don't throw to the double, right? So what the danger was always if you put your best on their best, the second guy's going to smoke him, you know, and the third guy.
Yep.
But you don't have that problem now because you don't have to put him on your best because there's not as much of a fall off. Go ahead and put the double on the best, and the number two ain't catching balls either. All of a sudden, now you're way in your progressions. That's the real value of Darrell Revis.
All right, let's get to the quarterback. You know, obviously, I think a lot of their success on offense, and especially the whole team, is predicated on Tom Brady's success. He's 37. He's entering his 15th year. Tom seems he's lasered in. He is as focused as I've ever seen him. Yeah, I'm talking about watch the way he operates in practice and games. Yeah, do you think in any way, and you play with him, I mean, does this motivate him? The Garoppolo.
Just the Garoppolo's here? That he's
They used the second-round pick in his twilight years to get a quarterback.
No, not really. I mean, I think you hear some of his conversation, some of his points. Maybe it's in relation to that, but he doesn't talk about the media Tom timeline. The media Tom timeline is 3 to 4 to 5 or whatever. He talks about 10. Yep. You know, so he has no.
He got offended when I said, "Hey, you got 4 or 5 left."
Yeah, like 4 or 5. I mean, I'll still be able to walk.
You cut me short.
Right. So, that's his answer.
Here's the thing. I think if you look at what Tom's doing now and the style of player he is, you won't see the fall off. You saw Elway move down. You saw the guys that had the mobility as well. Favre. Those guys did other things besides just Tom rules the pocket. The pocket's not going anywhere. As long as the arm still hangs there and works the same way, the mind is sharp, he'll be there for as long as he wants to be.
Yeah, and I don't buy it. Knowing Tom and knowing his competitive nature and seeing him from when
first... Well, that's why I asked that, because, hey, you're going to bring a guy in? Okay, I'm going to show you.
Yeah,
you
know, see, I don't...
It's the first time Bill's ever talked about his age, 37. Mm. You know Tom's age.
But, I you know, knowing Tom... He's always going into every season to prove that he's the best quarterback to ever step on the football field. And to me, whether you draft a guy in the second round or you don't draft a guy, period, he still has that competitive edge, that competitive nature, that every time he steps on the football field, he has something to prove. And that's why when you say to him, hey, you're going to play 4, 5 more years, he looks at you and says, you're cutting me short.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, we got our Rants and Raves segment, and that's where we get into boy, there were a lot of those yellow hankies thrown out there in the preseason. Is that going to continue during the regular season? That more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. And Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jimmy Garoppolo. The 6'3", 225-pound rookie broke virtually all of Tony Romo's passing records at Eastern Illinois, and the 22-year-old cashed in on his opportunities in the preseason. The second-round draft choice and number 62 overall, Garoppolo completed 46 of 79 passes in the preseason for 618 yards. He connected for 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the luxurious Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And Wiggy, you're filling that chair out quite nicely. All right, rants and raves. Something that if you listen to the broadcast, I really get into and rant. I cannot stand when the flow of the game is broken up. The officials, points of emphasis, illegal contact, hands to the face. Matt, you were down on the sideline. Start with you here. Dean Blandino, and you and I have been in production meetings where he said, you know what? And the league issued a statement that they're going to continue to call things the way they did in the preseason. Do you believe that?
Liars.
Liars. I agree. Liars. But it did get better through weeks 3 and 4.
Exactly.
No, but okay. Think about it. We did game 4 as well. Yeah. It was a normal game, more or less.
It just felt like it
settled. That was football. I mean, okay, here's the point. And here's why you should be mad if you're a fan. They wasted your time. They wasted your money. It's sort of a because I told you so kind of moment. And, you know, it was more about sort of this idea of this rules fetish as opposed to entertaining the fans and getting your money's worth for these preseason games that don't count. It wasn't about the fans.
Right.
It wasn't about the players playing the game. It was about some book we wrote.
Yeah.
And that's why I think fans should be upset. But you know what? Once a regular season starts, there's no way they do that. I just don't buy that they would be that ignorant.
Yeah, I think they went overboard, especially in the first 2 weeks of the preseason. Especially, I mean, every play, it seemed like every single play watching those games, there was a flag on the play, and the hands to the face was absolutely ridiculous. Hands to the face.
Exactly.
As soon as before,
but any normal football movement is up and through.
Exactly.
Whether it's to get your hand on the pads, the outside, and you always hit the helmet or the face.
When I played, it was
now you can't do it.
When I played, when you got your hand on the face mask, you had to now get it off there.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity to get it off there.
At least let you make the contact.
If you had a little contact. Then fine, but now you have to get it off. In the preseason, it was like what Matt said. As soon as it grazed the face mask, boom, flag was coming out.
Here's the thing. We have safety rules for a reason because you're trying to prevent something, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with them. But what is prevented by not touching a face mask? I mean, seriously, like what is it that we're preventing from happening? Was there some sort of...
I think they're worried about the Deacon Jones head slap.
Yeah. But was there a lot of facial breaks last year?
Know.
Or, you know, what was it? I mean, you know, cauliflower ear? I mean, what was going around the NFL that they felt they needed?
Maybe a lot of increased bills they had to pay to chiropractors.
That's the point. Why stop the pace of play? Yep. Why ruin the fan experience for something that wasn't a problem?
All right, guys, coming up next, the team with the best fight song in the National Football League. That's right. Talking about those awful Miami Dolphins and a terrible fight song.
Miami Dolphins, number one.
Hey, my mother always said, if you can't take the heat, then get the heck out of the kitchen. Well, 1 o'clock on Sunday, the Patriots are going to be in the heat down in Miami. And if I'm Tom Brady, with the rumors that are spreading up front, no Logan Mankins, maybe taking Vollmer, moving him to guard, I got to find out where Cameron Wake is at all times. Take a look at the big guy right here on the outside. Good push, nice leverage. He is a quarterback's recipe for a nightmare. Because he's big, he's athletic, it's not a big body up top here. And you got Ben Roethlisberger, here you go, you got him in the gun. Watch the push by Wake. This is last year against Pittsburgh. Gets back downfield. He has that ability to get past the tackle, then reroute himself. Strip sack. Another one coming right here. Top of your screen. Push around the edge. Any quarterback that doesn't stay compact. The best thing we got in New England, we got a quarterback who's technically sound. Seat that ball between the 1 and the 2. And then you got to worry about where Cameron Wake is. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
The show's called Patriots This Week, and we're here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Joe Philbin, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, guys, enters his third year. Now, they had a big scandal last year, the locker room stuff, which transpired between Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. They held it together quite well, considering all the stuff that was out there, but faded at the end of the year. Ryan Tannehill, you know, it's kind of a retooled offensive line. No Pouncey in the middle at center, and I think that's huge for the protection of a young quarterback. Can they sustain this? Wiggy, start with you. You know, everybody's new up front. How do you rebuild this?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult because last year they gave up 50-plus sacks. I think it was 53 sacks. And you're talking from left tackle to right tackle of five new starters. To me, that's very difficult for a team that's coming off a year where they struggled in pass protection. Now you got five new starters. You lose your key center, and you're trying to figure out, okay, where do we go? And what identity do they have? Are they a run team? Are they a pass team? Well,
they're changing again. They're going up-tempo. They got a Chip Kelly disciple and Laser that they hired to be the offensive
coordinator. To me, that's the thing that you have to look at is when you're talking about, because the offensive line is the one unit that works. They work together. Five guys always got to be on the same page. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see.
They'd be better right now if Richie Incognito was playing left guard.
Yeah, but I'm serious. But, I mean, people cannot separate the off-field from the on-field. Yeah, that's a guy you want to go to war with.
You would love to. But put that aside for a second. So they spent a first-round draft pick on a right tackle, and he reports, training camp reports, in preseason, struggled a little bit. He doesn't look, who knows if it's the right spot. The year prior, Deion Jordan, I believe the name is, the defensive end from Oregon, is now suspended. So 2 years in a row, your first-round pick for a team that's trying to catch teams like the Patriots in this division, those are the kind of things you can't have happen.
Changes in a secondary. Too. You got Rashad Jones, exactly. Back there at safety.
Those sink organizations, though, when you miss bad twice, and it's not a miss, but you can't use them to beat the team you're chasing, and that's a big problem. So can they overcome that?
But they are pretty darn good up front, and if they could generate pressure, I think the best thing they have going for them is the location they play in, the heat, and when you catch teams. Now, to be fair to New England, I mean, they got a break this week. You look at the week of practice. I mean, you were pushing, 92? I think the heat index. So one of the days, I think this past Tuesday or Wednesday, it hit like 96, 97 degrees. That's got to help. And you guys have been there when Bill has turned up the heat. What are some of the things he would do to get you ready for Miami?
Yeah, I mean, definitely going inside the bubble.
Yep.
Turning up the heat. Because if the weather's not like it is now where it's in the high 90s, see, that's the toughest thing. People don't understand that it's harder to get acclimated to the heat than it is to the cold. Because guess what? When it's cold, everybody goes inside, and so everybody's cold. But down in Miami, those guys get to practice and have training camp in this heat. So that gives them a slight advantage, and Bill will do everything he can. Tell guys, hey, throw sweatshirts on, throw hoodies on, whatever you got to do. Try to get used to being hot.
The infield used to be there. Now, now the Marlins have their own stadium. So,
so it's an actual football stadium. Yeah. They got a home.
Well, remember there was like the little turf that would fall away in the end zone. It was kind of crappy. But the thing that stunk as a player is you get hot from the humidity, and you're warmer than normal. But it makes you hotter. You make one tackle in that dirt, you come up, you're caked, you can't cool off. So that factor is now gone.
I remember warming up, and you would warm up for the 45 minutes prior to the game. And believe me, I mean, even you're the backup, and you're warming up, and you come in, and you felt like you had to change your uniform.
Change it after.
Completely soaked. I remember looking down, and you see water coming out of your shoes.
I did. I changed my shoes at halftime.
It gets hot down there. And that infield did play a huge part because the footing was awful.
Yeah.
All right, guys, good stuff. Because coming up next, we have our predictions and the player that will have the biggest impact on this Sunday's game. That's next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
When you kick off your fantasy season this week, make sure you start Michael Crabtree. The 49ers wideout will be up against a Dallas Cowboys pass defense that has looked porous in the preseason. But keep Phillip Rivers on the bench. The San Diego quarterback will be facing the Arizona Cardinals' stingy secondary. Yards and points could be tough to come by. And this week's sleeper is Golden Tate. Now with the Lions and playing opposite Calvin Johnson, Tate is looking to live up to his name against the New York Giants. This week's fantasy picks are brought to you by Verizon. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet. Exclusively from Verizon.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for our score predictions and our game changer. Let me see. I'm going to start with Matt Chatham first. Score and guy who's going to have the biggest impact.
Score first. I was thinking of a three-digit number, but I'll throw in a little bit. I don't think this is going to be close. I'll go with something like 49-14. I think the Patriots are going to blow them out. They come in with a lot of uncertainty. They're going to be very difficult to prepare for on week one. My game changer, you could go anywhere within that wide receiver group. I'm just guessing that Danny Amendola is going to have a big
game. You just took mine. Now I got to come up with something different. So we're going to go to Wiggy while I rethink this. Go ahead, Wiggy.
Well, I think it's simple. I say it's going to be 34-17. I just think that the Patriots offensively, they're hitting on all cylinders. My game changer, Chandler Jones. You got five new offensive linemen. Chandler Jones is going to have a field day. Three sacks.
Sounds good to me. I'm going Patriots 34-13. 21-point win. Great way to start the season. Impact player, Vince Wilfork. Chandler Jones does not have the game he has if it's not for the big guy in the middle swallowing up some bodies. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week, the Virgin Excursion, we'll like to call it. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.